Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us. This week, Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets is our guest. If you have questions for Mayor Sheets, you can still email those then in throughout the show to ask@wbaa.org. And I have Mayor Sheets on the line right now. Mayor Sheets, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you doing this afternoon? Good afternoon.
I'm doing great. Beautiful day out there.
I have not stepped out in a little while. You're reminding me that I should take a walk later, so I will do that.
There you go.
So
beautiful out.
So let's start off with something that Frankfort is in the midst of as we speak. It's something that you're calling a Be Kind campaign. So this is, I believe this started at the beginning of this week. Can you just explain exactly what that is, what some of the activities and events have been, and why the city decided to do this?
Well, about a week ago, I was looking at our window on Old Stoney, and it still said Hope on it. And I'm like, you know, we need to change that. We need to put something really positive out there for the community, because these last 3 months have been pretty tough for us. So came up with the idea with Be Kind. And then we wanted to know, how can we involve our different departments, maybe different businesses, that type thing. So we got with our departments. They came up with great ideas. It started Monday, and it goes through Friday. We've had our fire department out in the neighborhoods with the fire trucks passing out little fire hats and badges, and they had the snorkel out spraying the water for the kids. And then last night we had the police department that had ice cream and popsicles, had a great turnout for that. A lot of the kids and adults showed up for that. Our parks department has been having rock painting every day in the afternoon. A lot of kids are coming out for that. And our street department also is at the parks, and they had their payloader along with a dump truck and showed the kids how that all worked, and they were loving it. So we've had a lot of activities going on. Friday is our final day from 2 to 4 at Old Stoney. We're going to have Kona Ice here. All the different departments are going to have their equipment here, and they're going to interact with the kids and have things to pass out to them. And I'm really excited about it. We've had some small businesses in town be a part of it. We've been recognizing some of our people who have done good things during the past 3 months. And the big thing was, we just want the community to know that we love them, we care about them. We know we've all had some tough times going through them, but we're here for them.
So I'm looking at the schedule of events, and it does look like there are, you know, I'm seeing, you were mentioning all the different departments, the police department, the fire department, street and parks, and fire trucks in neighborhoods. I see a blue ribbon day to tie a ribbon on a tree to support for support public safety and healthcare workers. Why did you choose the word kind, I guess? What was the concept there as opposed to something else?
I don't know. That's just what popped in my head that day. It's like, you know what? We just need to start being kind to each other. And I think that with people going through what they did the last 3 months, everybody's kind of been on edge. And, you know, we just need to show some kindness out there. We've all been through a lot. And I think it's important that everyone is aware that we care, that, you know, we should be kind to each other. We ask them to, you know, like pay it forward or different things like that. And it just happened. That's what I came up with. I love Be Kind.
Okay. So speaking of the police station where there was an event last night, I saw it was reported the city is taking another look at possible locations for the police station. Can you talk us through a little bit what the plan was for the location and maybe what's happening now and what has changed?
Well, during the past few years, they have looked at different locations. CVS was one of those. The old CVS building, couldn't really get things negotiated at that time, so they were looking at other areas to go to, and it came to our attention that maybe the airport. So at that time, they brought up maybe the police and fire together, have some sort of a facility out there. Well, then when I came into office, I still wanted to check again on the CVS. I just wanted to make sure. I love the location. It's more centrally located. Our courthouse is always going to be our downtown. We're always going to have our downtown. And I would have liked to have seen the police department put there. So I thought, I'm going to go back and ask them again. So we're in, right now, we're looking at our possibilities. We're getting it appraised. We're working with the owners. And I'm just hoping that we can come up with something that will work for us.
So it sounds like you think it's a more ideal location for them to be more central to where everyone is.
To me, that makes more sense. I think that maybe for the people, being able to get to the police department or their needs or also calls from the officers, I just feel like maybe that would be a better location for us.
And then financially, and again, I know that's kind of like one of your areas of expertise, you know, what do you think is the better deal monetarily in terms of the locations you're looking at?
Well, I think we could still stay within the amount that we're wanting to stay. We have kind of set at $7.2 million when we were looking at the airport. It was my understanding that the police department was going to have to make some cuts and not get everything that they necessarily needed and wanted at that time, so we could add the fire department. And that kind of, I didn't like that real well. I thought, you know, this started out as a police department. This was a project where we needed to improve the police department. So to stay within the budget, we were going to have to let some of their things go. So I'd like to keep it so that we can now focus on the police department and then maybe later phase in something for the fire department.
So we're talking about the police department, and you were talking about, you know, you have this campaign about being kind. You mentioned, you know, it's been a long couple of months. People might be feeling on edge. And of course, there have been protests and gatherings and demonstrations across the state and the country in recent weeks in response to the death of George Floyd while in police custody. Has there been anything along those lines in Frankfort? What have those conversations been like there?
You know, I met with the police department, and we came up with a plan. We had a plan in place on, you know, how we were going to handle things if something did come up. We've reevaluated some of the standard operating procedures that they have. We're looking at those to make sure that we have everything in place. We had one evening where we did have a few people gather downtown, but it was nothing like a protest. It wasn't anything like that. It was friendly. We had the officers out there. They talked to people. And so far, we haven't had anything that has been negative from that.
Have you?
But I know right now it's tough.
Well, how what have you been hearing from your citizens, from your residents? What kind of conversations are you having on that level with everything that's been going on?
You know, we've only heard positive things about the police department, and that's one of the things that I want to emphasize this week as well. I want them to look at us as a caring community. You know, our police officers are caring. We have a great group of officers, and I just think the community, you know, needs to recognize that. And so I was so proud of the officers to get out in the community and to have this ice cream thing last night for the people, and I want it to be a positive reaction to our police department.
You are listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. Thanks so much for being with us. We're talking right now with Frankfort Mayor Judy Sheets. Again, if you have questions for Mayor Sheets, you can certainly still email those in right now as we're talking. The email address is ask@wbaa.org. So it looks like the city is starting to officially maybe move forward with a possible annexation project in Frankfort. So I think first it might be helpful if you can explain to people listening so we can get a sense of what we're talking about here. You know, what does annexation look like? What happens? What's the situation here?
Okay, we will start at the city limits on the west side on State Road 28. And there's some other roads off of 28 a little bit, but there's an area that goes out to the other side of 65. That, you know, we're hoping to annex in. The way that's going to work is we will pass everything, and next April 2021, that's when we will have it in effect. But then the actual annexation itself will not take place until 2024. And then we will provide services out there 2025.
So I know that this has kind of been on the table for a while. Why is this an important step for Frankfort to take? What does this do for the city?
Well, for economic development, one, you know, we're really interested in getting different industries out, different restaurants, hotels, that type thing. The reason I think that maybe they tried to push forward a little bit quicker on this, the council's decided to do that, is that there was some legislation talked about last fall that maybe they would change how that had to happen, how the annexation had to happen. And we just did not want to lose the opportunity to go ahead and annex in that area.
So what is the legislation that you're talking about? Can you explain that?
Okay. One of the things that just stands out with me is that they were going to have voluntary annexation of like 51%.
Okay.
And we had already, you know, taken care of a lot of this, remonstrance, waivers, that type thing, and we just did not want to lose the ability to go ahead and go out that far with our annexation.
So I know when I'm heading into Frankfort, you know, you get off at the exit off of 65, and then there's a little ways to go. Is it about 7 miles, I think?
About 7 miles,
yeah,
yes.
Before you kind of hit that downtown area. So that's kind of what we're talking about, to get that in people's
right.
heads, that what you
right.
want is for that to just become more developed. What are all of the other elements the city has to plan for? You know, what are all the different things that you're going to have to do to make this work?
Well, we have prepared some fiscal information, you know, for a fiscal plan. We have to look at, you know, police services, our fire services, the street department. You're going to have your garbage pickups. You're going to have your roads to maintain. Those are some of the things that we have to look at. And we have been taking a close look at that and see exactly what the cost would be for the city in that way.
And then what kind of numbers have you been looking at? What are you seeing?
Well, for the first few years, we don't see that we're going to have to add a lot of additional. It depends on the development as well. You know, what type of facilities come in, whether it's industrial, whether it's restaurants, hotels, whatever that we bring in. We haven't come up with any numbers exactly what the cost is going to be, but we have some idea of what we're looking at.
Okay. I know that you're having some public meetings to kind of start talking about this. What kind of feedback
yes.
do you think you're going to be getting at these meetings? What do you think people will have to say?
I think what a lot of the people are concerned about maybe is what it will do to their taxes. I think maybe that's one of the big concerns. And also maybe just what type of industry we want to bring in, you know, what other types of facilities are we going to have there. We're going to have 6 different meetings. We have them at different times of the day, different locations, hoping that we can get the public to come in with their questions. We're going to have our legal advisors there along with our financial consultants. So they should be able to get any questions answered that they might have.
So it sounds like maybe there might be some different visions of what this could look like. And maybe if you ask 5 different people, you get 5 different visions. I guess you personally, what do you think is the ideal type of development along there? A mixture or, you know, more industry,
I'd like to see a mixture, probably industry more along 28 as you get closer to the interstate. I could see hotels, restaurants, those types of facilities, and that's what I see happening, more the industrial towards Frankfort, you know, just to go on with our industrial park. But then as you get closer to the interstate, you're always going to have restaurants, hotels, you know, those types of things.
And in your conversations with other, you know, city officials, do you think that there's agreement on that kind of concept? Do you think people have different ideas from that?
I think there's agreement on it. I think everybody's in agreement that we need to do this, that we need to move forward for the economic development for the city. And also, I mean, this is going to be good for the city of Frankfort, the citizens. It's going to have a lot to offer them.
So we're gonna switch topics here to something we've talked about a lot before. We're still in the middle of the coronavirus pandemic. Indiana now in stage 4 of its reopening plan. Many more spaces open at, you know, a fuller capacity. And we talked last month about, you know, Frankfort businesses reopening and how residents were responding to some restrictions being lifted. So first of all, in general, how do you think everything's progressing?
I think everything's going really well. We've had a lot of cooperation by the citizens, the businesses. I think everyone is anxious to get back out, get back to some normalcy. We're not there yet, but I think we're working on it. People are still, some are wearing masks. We're doing the social distancing. We have our small businesses, our restaurants that are open, some of them to a certain percentage of capacity, but I feel like they've all done a really good job on staying within the guidelines.
So we talked last month about kind of the continuation of your 4th of July celebrations and some of the adjustments that you made to that celebration, which does happen every year. You know, you're not having vendors, musicians, things like that. It really sounds like it will just be kind of a fireworks display. And you kind of made the point, you're just hoping people kind of take it upon themselves to practice social distancing during the fireworks, that they will spread out, that they will take care of that. Has there been any further planning around that event, or is that still kind of the status quo for the moment, since that is coming up pretty soon?
Right. It is the same. We do have our playgrounds open. The restrooms will be open, our shelters. We have picnic tables out. Like you said, we hope that people will continue to do the social distancing, you know, to take care of, take that responsibility themselves. You know, if they feel better about sanitizing the playground equipment before their children get on there, you know, I would urge them to have those sanitation wipes. They could wipe those off. But right now, we are just planning on having the fireworks. We're not going to have any other activities there.
Do you ever just, you know, take a drive around town, check things out, you know, go to parks, see, just kind of just to see for yourself and kind of assess with your own eyes kind of how things seem to be going?
Well, I will tell you about every evening I do that.
Okay.
My husband knows the routine. I walk in the door, we figure out what we're going to do for dinner, and then I said, you know what we do next? And we just drive around over Frankfurt. I check out each one of the parks. I check out, you know, different facilities just to see how things are going. That's just been a routine ever since I've been into office. It's like we just need to be out and around and check in to make sure. We have a great park superintendent. He's new this year. So I've kind of put a challenge to him to work on the small parks. You know, get out there, paint them, do some things just to spruce them up. And he's doing a great job for us. But I said he probably gets tired of hearing from me because after I go through my drive every day, I get a hold of him and like, so what are we going to do here? And so, yeah.
So I know, speaking of parks, so TPA Park and the Petting Zoo and the Aviary reopened, yeah, I think, this past weekend. And that is under COVID-19 restrictions, it looks like. I want to say they're only allowing in 12 people at a time, something like that. And I'm just going to ask this as a side note. I saw it reported that there's a new sloth enclosure. So educate me a little bit here. Is the enclosure new or are the sloths new or both? I didn't know if there were sloths before at the petting
zoo. We had one sloth. We're hoping to get another one, but so far we have not been able to purchase that. But yes, it's a new enclosure. They built it, and now it has, like, plexiglass, so you can actually, you know, get close to them and look in there. It's a really nice enclosure. And the aviary and the petting zoo both opened on Sunday, and from what I'm hearing, it was packed out there. You know, just to look around, they can't all go in the aviaries at that time, but there were a lot of people at the park, and they wanted to get out there and see the animals and the birds, and the aviary is beautiful this year. They've done a great job on getting it ready.
So you're saying packed, and so I'm bringing that up because I do feel like this comes up when we're mm-hmm. talking, and might come up less and less as things continue to reopen and have mm-hmm. more capacity. I know that sometimes there can be a concern around, okay, this restaurant can only have, let's say, 75% capacity. So how do you keep people who are standing on the sidewalk kind of, you know, 6 feet apart from each other? You know, what would you do with the aviary, the petting zoo, if there's a lot of people kind of waiting to get in? You know, has there been a thought process about that? And again, this will continue to change over time. But
right. We have it posted. You know, we're leaving it up to the people to read the post and to do the social distancing on their own. We did have park employees out there at the time, you know, just to make sure that they were following the rules as far as going into the aviary, petting zoo, that type thing. But I think a lot of people are just doing that on their own. They realize the importance of that.
I saw that Frankfurt's OptumServe COVID-19 testing site is moving its location. Looks like it was on the site of the Clinton County Fairgrounds, but it's getting moved because of pre-fair activities. And I'll say I saw some comments from, you know, some citizens who were maybe a little concerned on the health department's Facebook page about the fair continuing. So I guess, have residents expressed any concerns about that to you?
Not really to me, because that is a Clinton County project. The fair is, of course. So I myself and the city have not heard anything, but I do know that they're working really hard to make sure that the guidelines are followed and that they're, I heard something the other day about they may just be able to turn in paperwork about their animal. Or if they do bring their animal to the fair, they bring it and then they have to go back home that same day. So I know they're taking the precautions that they need to. And like you said, there are people that are concerned about it, I'm sure, but I know from where I'm at and where they would be, they're going to take those precautions. They're not going to want anything to happen there. So,
also, at the end of the month, we're coming up on the lifting of the state's moratorium on evictions, things like utility disconnections. I've been having a few conversations with other mayors and others about what this looks like in various cities. I guess, what can you tell us about how Frankfurt's utility system has been impacted by all of this?
It has been, but they're going to work with the customers to give them time to, you know, catch up on their billing. And we're very good about working with people, you know. And like you said, we have not been able to have any disconnects or anything like that. But as we move forward, they're going to be allowed time, you know, to make this up, to work with them, to make sure that we're doing it right for them.
Can you give us a sense, I guess, of how many people might be having issues with that, or even issues with rental payments? I ask because this is something that is kind of coming up. I know that they extended the moratorium that was supposed to be lifted at the beginning of June, I believe. And so I know from talking with people who are working on that here in Lafayette, for example, it's just a constant process of seeing where people are at, redirecting them to resources that can help them, but knowing that, you know, there are going to possibly be some stop gaps and some issues with people, and just trying to get ahead of that.
Yes, I really haven't heard a lot about that or people having problems with that, but we have our Center Township trustee. She's very good to work with people, and also our billing office. I know they're working diligently to make sure that they put things into place that are going to work for the people. But my personal experience from in my position, no, I have not heard a lot about that.
Okay. The state has also started rolling out plans for schools to reopen. I know that's, you know, kind of a partnership between the school corporations and then area health departments to figure out how schools might function under COVID-19 restrictions. And schools will also kind of need to decide how they're going to possibly fund some of the changes they might have to make. You know, have you been involved in any conversations with local schools, school superintendents about how all of this might work or how the city could be a part of that conversation?
I met a couple weeks ago with the county schools, along with the City of Frankfurt schools superintendents, commissioner, and our Board of Health, and we had a long discussion. We probably met for an hour, hour and a half, and talked about, you know, some ideas and how they could do that and what we could do to help each other, because we all want to work together to make sure that this is a successful event when it happens. I do look for all the schools to probably follow a lot of the same guidelines within the county. But the last I heard, they have not, like, finalized anything on that.
What were some of the ideas that came up at the meeting, or some of the thoughts about what could work?
You know, we were talking about, you know, do the kids wear masks? Do they not? How many kids in the classroom? How are you going to transport the children back and forth to school to make sure that you keep that social distancing? Just different things like that was brought. Do they work remotely? Do part of them work remotely? Do part of them go to school? And there's all sort of things that we, you know, threw out there and food for thought. And they were, at that time, they were still waiting to hear from the Department of Education and the governor on any guidelines that they might have. And we have not met since then, but I look for us to meet soon.
Okay. And then I guess how is city government functioning right now? Are you opening offices back up?
Yes.
Okay. And then are you reopening meetings to the public, or has that already started happening?
Yes, it is. We're still doing the social distancing. We haven't marked for that. So if people come in, we have X's where they can sit or where they can stand to keep the social distancing. We did have our meetings last time at the IT building because it was a bigger building, and we thought we could separate people more easily. But then you have the problem of them be able to hear, and we do it on YouTube. So I think we're going to come back to the city building for our meetings on Monday night, and we are prepared. We're ready to do that. We have until July the 4th that we can still have digital meetings remotely, and they still, you know, they can vote. They can be a part of the meetings. So for this next meeting, we're still going to offer that. It is going to be shown on YouTube, but we're ready to go on it.
So if you felt like, and this is a question that gets asked of lots of local officials, and I know that there would be multiple people involved in a decision like this, you know, if there was an uptick in cases in your county or in your area, would you start thinking about putting more local restrictions and guardrails back in place? Is there, you know, if we're anticipating that there could be more cases that pop up in the future, what have you thought about with that?
I think we'd have to look at the increase, the number of increases. We're getting a few increases every day, but I think a lot of that's due to the testing. I think we'd have to see a significant increase in cases along with hospitalizations to see exactly if we needed to put something back into place, you know, stricter than what we're doing right now.
I saw that ground was broken at the Southridge housing subdivision a few days ago. And it was interesting because this is phase two of constructing houses in the subdivision, and phase one started over 20 years ago. What is the history there? Why was there such a big gap between the phases?
Okay, I think that is two different types of developments. We had someone that, a member of SEEF that had bought the land, and then he decided to go ahead and work towards getting that developed. So he worked with some contractors and with other businessmen in the city, and they decided to go ahead with this phase two, and I'm so excited about that. Housing is a problem in Frankfort right now. Houses are selling almost faster than they can get them on the market, so it's definitely a need for Frankfort to have this happen.
So I think it's, how many houses are going to end up in this subdivision? I think I saw 20, 30, something like that.
30. We're going to have 30 houses.
Okay. What's the timeline for that? How long is it going to take to get this kind of up and running?
Well, they're going to start working. When I was out there the other day for the groundbreaking, where we were standing, they said that's going to become dirt. So they're out there right now getting ready to develop it.
So when someone moves into Frankfort, what are their options right now? If you're saying there's kind of a lack of housing, where are the areas people are chiefly looking at this point if they want to buy?
We don't really have that many new houses going up at this time. That's why I think it's so important for this to happen. Right now, in all areas of the city, houses are moving quickly. I mean, you see it on the market. You go by 2 days later, it's sale pending. I've heard people within hours have their house sold.
Okay, that is our time for today. Mayor Sheets, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You can find this program at our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of Lafayette, West Lafayette, and Crawfordsville. Send us your questions to ask@WBAA.org. Thanks for listening, and have a great rest of the day.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.